Welcome to the show, In Plain Sight, Jeremy from Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate button, send the fundage. You can mail your check or money order payable to RBN. Send that to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And you can also call in your debit or credit card donations, and Mike will take your money. Keep free speech alive, because free speech ain't free. And we definitely don't want to rely on Elon Musk to maintain free speech, because we don't know what that guy's thinking. So we'll always have RBN as long as you always have the fundage to send, because that's what it takes. This is Spiritual Health and Wellness Edition on your Wednesday night broadcast. I am live. I don't know that I'll take calls. I mean, maybe later on in the show. There's a lot of stuff that I want to cover. This is the night that you all allow me to focus on or feature sermons or just nerd out on the Bible. Tonight we will be nerding out on the Bible. I try to provide a lot of political content and relevant current news. You know, we have Patrick on and William Repellum. But Wednesday nights, I just ask that we focus on biblical things and that you allow me to be a nerd. So thank you. Thank you, Mike. And I think a lot of people find it interesting. I've not had too many complaints as of yet. But it does sort of, you know, it is going to relay into some current things. I've been looking at this Belt and Road Initiative that China's doing. It's been in the works for a while now, several years, possibly even, you know, a decade, where they're basically reestablishing the old Silk trade route, you know, between China, India, and Europe, and then Russia. And then I see how the lines have been drawn, how the balance of power has shifted to the east, to Eurasia, with Russia, India, and China, and then several other nations, and then Europe is sort of caught in the balance, you know, in the wake of this Ukrainian conflict, where the sanctions that are put on Russia pretty much just haven't really adversely affected it. They've overcome all of these, and they're really adversely affecting Europe and America. And I sort of see how this Belt and Road Initiative, you know, could come into play, and how, you know, Israel and the Middle East there, the greater Israel area, is going to be a key bottleneck, a key choking point of this trade route. And so that could be one reason why the Greater Israel Project is so important to the Jews, because they understand that historically, and we're going to get into this, how historically this was a very important center point in the Silk Road trade, whether it be by sea or by land. The greater Israel area seems to be a key point. We're going to get into how, you know, Alexander the Great and the Greeks understood this and sought to control this area with the nations of Israel, Syria, Babylon, and Egypt. Those are sort of four points of that area, of that choking point. But first, I want to get into a little biblical prophecy, Revelation 18. There's a prophecy of the future Babylon, and it will be the capital of the Antichrist. It will be a center of world trade. And I've always studied scripture literally in prophecies that have been fulfilled, such as, you know, the destruction of Tyre and Sidon. These always dealt with literal geographic areas, and the geographic area doesn't change regardless of when in history it is. And I have no reason to think that it would for Babylon. I think that the new Babylon spoken of in Revelation is right there by the Euphrates, geographically located in Iraq. And before even a couple of years ago, I never really understood how that ancient city could be revived and be a center of world trade. But now I see it. I'm beginning to see it, and I'm going to share that with you through not only scripture reading, but through some headlines that I've gathered and some historical articles. But let's start off by reading about this new Babylon. And, you know, a lot of people differ with my take on this. There are some people that think the new Babylon is America, is, you know, the whore and the beast on the many waters, the Statue of Liberty, and it's New York City. I can see why they would say that, but I don't think that's correct. And I'm going to make a case for that tonight. So if you will allow me to nerd out, please, let's do so and get into some scripture. I want to read in its entirety Revelation 18, which describes the fall of this new Babylon. And if you go back in context, Revelation 17 describes the whore on the beast, who represents a religious system that rides upon a political system, the beast, and how the whore, the religious system, will be will be totally destroyed by the beast. At first it will support her, and then it will turn on her. And, you know, contextually interpreting that, I mean, whatever the new religious system is in the future, it will ride on the new empire of the beast, and the beast will use her like the whore that she is until it has used her up, and then it will just destroy her when it's taken all from her that it can. And the beast himself will be the center of worship rather than this new false religious system. So that sort of sums up Revelation 17. I want to focus on 18 and read it in its entirety. So Revelation 18, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled full to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she hath said in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off, for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, and of pearls and fine linen, and purple and silk and scarlet, and all fine wood, and all manner vessels of glory and ivory, and all manner of vessels of most precious wood, and of brass and iron and marble, and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine, and oil and fine flour, and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught." And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What city is like unto this great city?" And they cast dust on their heads, and they cried weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged her on you." And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all." And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Revelation 18. A city described here is a city that is the center of global trade, of sea trade and land, of all types of goods, delicacies and necessities, as well as people marrying and giving in marriage, everyday normal life. It's a great global city, a capital that is described here. And if we were to take this as the ancient city of Babylon, as I do, then much needs to change from current day to the fulfillment of this prophecy, and I think much is changing. As I mentioned, the Belt and Road Initiative that China has been working on to establish trade between China, India, and Europe, and to include Northern Africa and anything that they can glean out of Africa too at any part, will all come through this greater Israel area, being from the Mediterranean to southern Syria, all the way over to the Euphrates, and to include northern Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and Egypt, all the way into the Nile. That's the greater Israel. It's the land that the Jews think that they deserve today, the secular state of Israel, whether you call them Jews or whatever you call them. the secular state of Israel has tried to take that area through treachery, global banking, and wars. And they've never had it. They've never had it at all. And our presence in the Middle East, the American presence, is due greatly in part to that Greater Israel Project. It was written about by Oded Yunan in the early 1980s, Israeli journalist that basically, you know, stated that that's the land that Israel desires to have and will have. The project for the Greater American Century in the 90s, headed by Kagan, a Jew, they mentioned that in order to establish control of the Middle East, you know, we need another Pearl Harbor type event. And then lo and behold, you have 9/11 in 2001. And so we see the push for Israel to get this, but with the prophecies in Revelation, Daniel 11, Daniel 7 as well, what they're telling us here is that the Antichrist, a future global leader, the global empire leader, will acquire this land. Daniel 11 states that in the latter verses, that he will establish his kingdom between the Great Sea, the Mediterranean, and the Euphrates, and that he will go to war with the kings of the north and the north being Syria and the south being Egypt, and that he will establish this greater Israel area as his center point of his kingdom, of his global empire. And so if, you know, we see current events leading to this, if indeed you have the Belt and Road Initiative, this greater Israel area is going to be the center point of that, and any global leader would want to control that. And so the case that I'm making, and that we'll continue to make through this broadcast, is that the ancient city of Babylon on the Euphrates is going to be revived and become a global capital and the center of trade, and then it's going to be overthrown in the future, according to this Revelation 18 prophecy. We're also going to touch on Jeremiah 51 that echoes the same thing and even names a couple of the nations that will participate in overthrowing the new Babylon. And I see this even more prevalent now as the West is becoming obsolete in their power, America and Europe, with these sanctions that they've tried to do on Russia. I mean, very, very impotent and pretty much shooting themselves in the foot. So with the West becoming irrelevant in global financial affairs, you can see this Eurasian thing happening. And I think it's very easy to see Babylon in the future becoming a center point of trade, as well as the greater Israel. So that's the case that I'm making tonight. Notice a couple of things in Revelation 18. In her was found the blood of prophets and saints and all that were slain. We know that Revelation 13 talks about the rise of the Antichrist, and he will cause all, small and great, free and slave, rich and poor, to receive a mark in order to buy, sell, and function in society. Those that don't will be beheaded. And so a lot of blood will be spilled in this time period for those that don't receive the mark, that don't capitulate and bow the knee to the beast. Coming up on the break, and we'll go back on the other side with more prophecy and more breakdown on Implant Side.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause laws against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
This shiny city built of gold, a far cry from innocence. There's more than meets the eye around here. Look to the waters of the deep. A city I'll be found. They're set a seven-headed beast, 10 horns raised from his head. Symbolic woman sits on his throne, but hatred strips her and leaves her naked. A beast in the
okay, we're back. Discussing the Beast of Revelation 18, the City of Babylon. And I want to jump real quick into a prophecy in Jeremiah 51 because, you know, it talks about in Revelation 18, the city is destroyed in an hour. And, of course, this very well could be a supernatural judgment of God, as there are many supernatural judgments throughout Revelation on the earth. But there is an indication in prophecy, if you get into Jeremiah 51, that there are going to be nations brought against this future Babylon. And I'm referring to an email that I had back and forth with a pastor, a friend of mine, very intelligent, very sharp individual. He knows who he is. I'm sure he's listening. But we were talking about this. He enlightened me on some of the nations. So when you study the table of nations and you go back to Genesis 10, you can understand some of the groups that are mentioned in Jeremiah 51. I'll give you the down low on it before we get into the specifics. It talks about the Medes and Ashkenaz coming against Babylon. The Medes are the current ethnic group called the Kurds. And the significance of this prophecy in Jeremiah 51 is that Jeremiah foresaw a time when the Medes, who are the present-day Kurds, would inhabit the area of eastern Turkey to north Iraq, which is currently called Kurdistan. And so let me just get into this a little bit. Ashkenaz basically is German in the Hebrew. And so we find here that, you know, Ashkenaz being the Germans is mentioned only three times in the Bible. The man Ashkenaz is mentioned in Genesis 10:3 and 1 Chronicles 1:10. The nation of Ashkenaz is mentioned here in Jeremiah 51:27. So Jeremiah 50 and 51 is a prophecy that concerns the destruction of the new Babylon at the end of the tribulation. Isaiah 13 is also an earlier prophecy of the same event. And it's clear from Isaiah 13:17 and Jeremiah 51:11 and 51:28 that the nation of the Medes will destroy end times Babylon. The Medes still exist today under the new name, which is called the Kurds. And this is no different to how the children of Ashkenaz are now called the Germans, a name which they did not bear in Old Testament times. Interesting finds here is Jeremiah 51:27, which states, and compare this, if you will, to the passage I just read in Revelation 18. So Jeremiah 51:27, set up a banner in the land, blow the trumpet among the nations, prepare the nations against her, call the kingdoms together against her, Arat, Meni, and Ashkenaz, appoint a general against her, cause the horses to come up like the bristling locust. So this verse in Jeremiah reveals additional information which Isaiah did not previously reveal. Like Isaiah, Jeremiah teaches that the Medes, or the Kurds, will attack the new Babylon. But in this verse, he adds that she, the city of Babylon, will be attacked by the nations or kingdoms of Ararat, Meni, and Ashkenaz. Now, are Ararat and Meni the names of people groups? No, they're the names of lands. And according to Genesis 8:4-2 and Kings, 2 Kings 19:37 and Isaiah 37:38. So Ararat and Meni are lands. They're geographic areas. Ashkenaz is the name of a people group, currently the Germans. So what is Meni? God has given great insight that since we already know that it's primarily the Medes that will attack Babylon, and that Ararat and Meni are not the names of nations, but they're the names of lands. Ararat and Meni are the names of the lands in which the Medes are dwelling at the time of the attack. All right. So the Medes, being the Kurds, are dwelling in Ararat and Meni. Now, Ararat we know is in Turkey, from Mount Ararat. Now, everything fits. Notice that there is no and between Meni and Ararat in Jeremiah 51:27, but there is an and between Meni and Ashkenaz. This means that there are only two nations, two kingdoms that come against Babylon: Ararat, Meni, Madai, and Ashkenaz. Let's take the break, and I'll cover more of this on the other side.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Okay, back to In Plain Sight, and I'm covering Jeremiah 51 and comparing that to Revelation 18 about the destruction of Babylon. And Jeremiah 51 is pointing out that the Medes and the Ashkenaz, or the Kurds and the Germans, are going to be the key nations in the destruction of Babylon. And it's also predicting that the Kurds will live in the area of Turkey, Ararat and Mani. Which currently they do. So the prediction is that by the end of the tribulation, the Kurds will attack Babylon from the north, from the area of Turkey, supported by the forces of the Germans. And the fact that the Germans support the Kurds in the overthrow of Babylon is a very hopeful message. It indicates that the Germans will reject the rule of the Antichrist. And it is likely that as the Germans respond to Christianity before, they will respond to the message of repentance in the tribulation and make up a great many of the sheep who will enter into the kingdom. So the beginnings, historically, the beginnings of a positive relationship between the Germans and the Kurds are being laid right now. In the 1960s, many Kurds immigrated to Germany and formed the largest minority population there. Germany has in the past voted to send weapons to aid the Kurds in their fight against ISIS, and Germany's will most likely support Kurdish independence and will likely see the emergence of a new state of Kurdistan north of Iraq. This is an email from like 10 years ago between my pastor friend and I, but it showed a little bit of insight into a lot of insight into the means of the destruction of Babylon, and how that most likely will be military destruction and probably nuclear, since the city is destroyed in an hour. So now I want to get into this Belt and Road initiative and how Israel plays into that. I got an article from the Diplomatic Courier, what China's new Silk Road means for Israel. Chinese President Xi Jinping's visit to the Middle East in January was almost unnoticed in Israel. This is likely because China's most ambitious leader since Mao Zedong did not include Israel on his visit. But make no mistake, Israel has become a strategic focal point for China, and if it fails to leverage this, it will miss a unique opportunity to not only upgrade and diversify its economy, but to position itself as a critical outpost on China's new Silk Road. If Israel seizes the current window of opportunity while being sensitive to America's regional interests, it may become a critical trading route between the East and the West. And I wholeheartedly agree. Looking up the date of this article, this is back in 2016 from the Diplomatic Courier, almost prophetic in its writings. As you guys know, I don't believe in modern prophecy. I'm just using that as a figure of speech. So, indeed, others have seen Israel and the greater Israel area as a key point in this new Silk Road. I want to get into a little bit of the history of this area and why it has been so coveted by past empires. As you know, historically, I mean, Babylon conquered the Middle East circa 600 BC. It's at that time that they overthrew Israel and Jerusalem, and Babylon pretty much ruled that area. And then the Medes and the Persians went ahead and conquered Babylon. And then after the Medes and the Persians, you had the Greeks came in. And you had basically Alexander the Great sweeping in and establishing his rule over the Middle East, right? Alexander of Macedon received a large and varied inheritance from his father Philip. Perhaps the most valuable item in the was the army that Philip had built to enable the creation of an expansive state reaching from the Adriatic to the Black Sea, and from the Balkans through mainland Greece. Equally valuable for Alexander's career was his father's plan to lead his army against the Persians. The effort was already underway by the time of Philip's murder in 336 BC. Within 2 years of his father's death, Alexander had a force of 30,000 infantry and 5,000 cavalry and crossed the Dardanelles to Anatolia, allegedly to avenge the Greeks on the Persians in retaliation for the attempt to add Greece to the Persian Empire in the early 5th century. The Macedonian success was overwhelming and of lightning speed. By 322 BC, the Persian king offered to cede all Persian territory west of the Euphrates. When Alexander pondered the offer with his council of generals, a senior officer named Parmenio advised that if I were Alexander, I would accept the terms. Alexander is reported to have answered, "If I were Parmenio, that is what I would do, but I'm Alexander, and so I will answer in another way." So that answer was to press further east. The Macedonians defeated a massive Persian effort in northern Mesopotamia, and then, without a battle, received Babylon from its Persian satrap. Alexander then moved on to take command of the Persian capitals at Susa and Persepolis, where he sat on the throne of the Persian kings and so became the great king in 330 BC. But he didn't stop there. Rather, he struck out for the northeast boundary of the Persian Empire into what is now modern Afghanistan, Baluchistan, and Samarkand. Even success in these lands was insufficient for Alexander. The Macedonians continued to march, some down the Khyber Pass and the rest through the hill country in the northern Indus Valley to regroup in western India. Victorious against the Mauryan Indian troops with their frightening corps of elephants, Alexander encouraged his Macedonians to travel eastward to find even greater challenges and wonders. When they refused, Alexander was forced to return to Babylon. Long story short, and I'm reading, let me cite the article. This is Washington.ed talking about a history of the Greeks conquering the Middle East. Alexander the Great had established his empire and controlled way more than the greater Israel. He even extended east of the Euphrates. And so he died childless, as you know from history, and four of his main generals divided up the land. And that's sort of where we come to Antiochus Epiphanes, right? Antiochus was a rogue Greek general that sought to control that entire area for his own. And thus, you know, realizing that that would be the center, the choking point of trade between East and West in that area. And so Antiochus, you know, in a military campaign, fought against the Syrians and the Egyptians. He overtook Israel and conquered that land, but he was defeated. He was defeated in battle, and eventually the Romans came in and took that area. So we can see this outlined, if you're familiar, in Daniel 11. Daniel 11 outlines the military campaign of Antiochus, and then Daniel compares that to a future military campaign, future to our time, where the Antichrist will try to establish and will succeed in establishing an empire there in the greater Israel. And that brings us back full circle to Revelation 18, where the ancient city of Babylon, according to prophecy, will be the capital of that area of the greater Israel. It is during this time that the Antichrist will desecrate the temple, which will be the third temple, set his image up for all to worship, and establish the mark of the beast globally. He will have the choke point on all global trade. And interestingly enough, the West, like as in America, is totally left out of this equation. And that's a fascinating thing in and of itself. What happens? Is America totally irrelevant, or will it be destroyed? Well, I don't know. I'm not making any predictions or interpretations here. I will say that in Revelation 6, you got a fourth of the earth destroyed in a world war. And I wonder what fourth that is, and I wonder if that is the Americas. Just asking the question, not making any for sure statements. But let's get back to this ancient Silk Road and try to compare it to what we see forming as the modern Belt and Road Initiative. So this from World History Encyclopedia, very interesting article. The Silk Road was a network of ancient trade routes formally established during the Han Dynasty of China in 130 BCE. It linked the regions of the ancient world in commerce between 130 BCE and 1453 of the Common Era, or AD. The Silk Road was not a single route from east to west, and historians usually call it the Silk Routes, even though commonly Silk Road is the phrase used. The European explorer Marco Polo, right around the 12th century, traveled on these routes and described them in depth in his famous work, even though he is not credited for naming them. Both terms for this network of roads, Silk Road and Silk Routes, were coined by the German geographer and traveler Ferdinand von Richthofen in 1877, at the Common Era, or in AD. He designated them Silk Roads or Seidenstrasse. Marco Polo and later Richthofen made mention of the goods which were transported back and forth on the Silk Road. And these goods were horses, saddles, grapes, grapevines, dogs, different animals, furs and skins, honey, fruits, glassware, woolen blankets, rugs, carpets, textiles, gold and silver, camels, slaves, weapons and armor, just pretty much you name it, it was transferred on this Silk Road. Now, interestingly enough, and I don't want to read verbatim from the article, so I'll sort of just try to sum it up as we're limited on time. But historically, you know, when the Ottoman Empire came to prominence between the 12th and 15th century, they shut down that trade route. And so in the 1500s, you had Europe seeking another route to India via sea. And then you get the modern day explorers, Columbus and the like, who tried to establish a trade route to India by going around through the sea. And these men understood that the world was spherical. I'm sorry, flat earthers, but they did. And they didn't think they were going to sail off the end of it or any such nonsense. They legit thought that there was a quicker route. I mean, I think they understood the spherical Earth, but they didn't understand like the vast like enormity of it. And so they, you know, tried to sail west and ran into the Indies and then, eventually the Americas and so on. So this kind of brings me to an overall, I want to do a 40,000 foot view here. So America became prominent when these explorers trying to find a route to India inadvertently discovered the Americas, and then they discovered a whole new area that they could conquer and settle. As they say, the rest you know is history. America was settled at first by the Pilgrims and Puritans, and then the European empires staked their claims, and then eventually the American Revolution, and then we have America becoming a prominent empire after the fall of the British Empire in World War II. And so here's my point. Up until the 1500s, that Eurasian area and the Middle East, Greater Israel area, was the focal point of trade, of global trade. And that's how it was for many, many centuries. And it was only when America rose to power that was sort of offset, you see. And you had this pause in history where Eurasia was not the center, and America sort of took that role at its pinnacle. But then, as you know, the forces, the elites that decided that America must fall, and they pushed, they gave all of our means of production out to foreign countries. And now this war with Russia, you see America kind of in the West sort of falling back into irrelevancy. And that brings me full point to where what I was talking about when I started talking about the Belt and Road Initiative. We're coming to a point in history that's very significant. It's very fascinating, and where America is becoming irrelevant through its own fault, through the fault of the foreign entity that controls our country, and where Eurasia and the Middle East is going to now become the focal center of power and trade, as we see, Russia allying with China and India. And I'm not saying all this to demonize Russia or China. I'm just pointing out historical fact here. This is just what's happening. This is what I'm seeing play out in real time. And this whole thing, to bring it even full circle, could lead us to a time when the Middle East, the Greater Israel area, will be the focal point and the choke point, if you will, of global trade. where everything that happens in global trade goes through that area of the greater Israel. So we're beginning to see more of an importance in this greater Israel project than just religion. It's more than just religiously significant, right? It's commercially significant. I think we're up on the break now, and we're going to take this one.
The wind blows hard against this mountainside, across the sea into my soul. It reaches in to where I cannot hide.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
My heart is old, it holds my memories. My body burns a gem like.
Hey, back. Final segment of Endpoint Sight, spiritual health and wellness. And I've tried to lay out a case that the greater Israel area, and specifically the ancient city of Babylon on the Euphrates River in current-day Iraq, that area will, according to biblical prophecy, be the center of global trade. And that was the thesis, basically. And I went through a lot of historical articles and biblical prophecy to try to back that up. And you can see it happening in real time today, within the wake of the sanctions that the West is putting on Russia. and how that Russia, China, and India are sort of hunkering down, as well as Iran, and even Saudi Arabia is coming on board, and that the American empire is pretty much in collapse and becoming irrelevant, and that the American empire for a few centuries took the global stage of the center of trade and commerce, but now that is fading rapidly, faster than I even ever thought it could. And we're seeing this power, this Eurasian power, because there's only so long that Europe is going to go without gas. I mean, when it gets cold again, you know, that stuff's going to stop. And they're going to be forced to deal with Russia. And Russia will be prevalent in Ukraine. You know, barring some nuclear event. And even then, I mean, then all options are off the table. But I don't think that the Bible foresees a global nuclear total destruction, perhaps minor, you know, nuclear events in cities, but not anything on a global scale. And so it looks to me like, I think that we're seeing this, that the center of power of global trade will again be in the Middle East, greater Israel area. And that is probably a lot of the reason why secular Israel is interested in this. And so I've said in the past that it seems like with this Ukrainian conflict and the COVID and all of that, that focus has been taken off the greater Israel. But no, I think I was wrong. This is all playing into the greater Israel, and Israel wanting to control that, you know, secular Israel, the people that call themselves Jews but are the synagogue of Satan, wanting to control that area because they know which way the winds are blowing, and that China and Russia are going to be major powers, and they want to control the central point of trade between the East, China and India, and the West, Europe and Russia. So that's the case that I've laid out. I hope it was insightful and informative, and I hope that I've communicated it correctly. I've been reading on this for days, and it's just utterly fascinated me. Thanks again for tuning in. Come back tomorrow night with more political content with William Pelham, and you guys stay classy.
My name is John, I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.